Hare Krishna, I welcome you for this Bhagavad Gita class. Today is Tuesday, 9th October 2012. So let us first start by chanting the invocation mantras and then we will discuss further. So please chant with me. Om Ajnana Timirandasya ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्येव च पतितानाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमः विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताका स्वामिनीति नामिने नमः विष्णु पादाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने we are in the chapter 6. Last week we completed the first section of chapter 6. Today we are going to go to the second section. You know, we just saw the how the mind can be controlled, what is required for that, how the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy, depending on whether we are controlling or not controlling. So today we'll take the second section. So as we do every time, we'll just read together. I think this time we are going from the little overlap from the last week, but that is required to, for the continuity sake. Okay, so let us read. A transcendentalist should always engage his body, mind, and self in relationship with the Supreme. He should live alone in a secluded place and should always carefully control his mind. He should be free from desires and feelings of possessiveness. To practice yoga, one should go to a secluded place and should lay kusha grass on the ground and then cover it with a deer skin and a soft cloth. The seat should be neither too high nor too low and should be situated in a sacred place. The yogi should then sit on it very firmly and practice yoga to purify the heart by controlling his mind, senses and activities, and fixing the mind on one point. One should hold one's body, neck and head erect in a straight line and stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus, with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the ultimate goal of life. Thus, practicing constant control of the body, mind, and activities, the mystic transcendentalist, his mind regulated, attains to the kingdom of God by cessation of material existence. There is no possibility of one's becoming a yogi, O Arjuna, if one eats too much or eats too little, sleeps too much or does not sleep enough. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. When the yogi, by practice of yoga, disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of all material desires, he is said to be well established in yoga. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendental self. In the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. Gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction. And thus, the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. The yogi whose mind is fixed on me verily attains the highest perfection of transcendental happiness. He is beyond the mode of passion. He realizes his qualitative identity with the Supreme, and thus he is freed from all reactions to past deeds. Thus, the self-controlled yogi, constantly engaged in yoga practice, becomes free from all material contamination and achieves the highest stage of perfect happiness in transcendental loving service to the Lord. A true yogi observes me in all beings and also sees every being in me. Indeed, the self-realized person sees me, the same Supreme Lord, everywhere. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Such a yogi who engages in the worshipful service of the Super Soul, knowing that I and the Super Soul are one, remains in me in all circumstances. He is a perfect yogi who by comparison to his own self sees the true equality of all beings in both their happiness and their distress. O Arjuna. And then Arjuna asks questions. So this is the second section. So let us try to understand a little more, better. Of course, Krishna is very, very clear. Each verse is self-explanatory. But we'll just try to still, you know, because we are not perfect. So we need to know a little more. So now, what does Krishna say? That we have to engage our body, mind and self in relationship with the Supreme. So this is the key. If our body and mind and we ourselves, the spirit soul, are not in relation with Krishna, because what happens in this, some of the shlokas, when Krishna says you see yourself, and then he says there is no difference, then people start thinking that, oh, that means I can also become Krishna. I am Krishna. I am God. So that's where the problem starts. Because if that is there, then there is nothing, why there should be a relationship? You can't have a relationship with yourself, you have to have a relationship with somebody else. And here Krishna is saying that relationship is with the Supreme. Right? It's the Supreme. So if you want to achieve Supreme, the goal is Krishna. Remember in the beginning of the introductory classes we said that the goal of Bhagavad Gita is Krishna. Is to know Krishna as he is. So then there are various processes. Bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, karma yoga, buddhi yoga, hatha yoga, etc. Now what we are studying right now is part of hatha yoga. We saw that. Dhyana, you know, the eight limbs of ashtanga yoga. We read that. So, now, if you want to do dhyana, meditation, then what are the requirements? Krishna is very clear about that. He said you should be going to a secluded place. Okay, and then you should be free from desires and feelings of possessiveness. Possessiveness of what? Of material nature. That this belongs to me, this belongs to me, like that. That belongs to me, this belongs to me. So we should be free from that feeling. Then the details of the, you know, process. Secluded place, kusha grass, deer skin, soft cloth, not too high, not too low, and in a sacred place, not next to some crematorium or something, or some hustle bustle of a town. Then you sit and fix your mind at one point. Up to that, many people teach. Up to one point, that point can be a egg-shaped red dot or some flame or something or some omkara, you know, something we talk of. One point, yes, focus on that. But that's not the end of the story, you know. If you want to achieve perfection, then we have to follow completely Krishna's instructions, not half instructions. Half instructions are dangerous, you know, like I'll just tell you one small half instruction or sometime trying to understand it, just taking something out of context and, you know, trying to understand only that much. There was a man who was visiting mosque, you know, the masjid, very regularly, and then he started attending the Quran classes. So after the first class, you know, then the Maulvi, he said, okay, everybody should take this Quran and take it home and read. So this person also took the Quran, you know. He's not well educated, he's just like, you know, ordinary person, but a devoted person. So he went, took the book home, and then from next day he stopped coming to the masjid. Mullah was always looking for him, and he did not find him coming to the classes or coming to the masjid itself. He will not come. So one day he was going to the market, and he saw this person. So he called him. He said, "Mia, what has gone wrong? You are not coming for the classes anymore, or you are not visiting masjid." He said, "Sir, I am just following your instructions." He says, "When did I instruct you not to come to the mosque?" He said, "You gave me the book, and book says, don't go to masjid." So this mullah is shocked. He says, "How can that be? Quran will never say like that." He says, "Do you think I am telling you lie?" So he brought his Quran. He says, "Bring your Quran." He brought the Quran. And the Urdu you write, read from left to, we read from left to right, they read right to left. So he shows him, there is a sentence which says, "You should not go to mosque, masjid." So the mullah said, "Oh my dear sir, turn the page. This is only half the sentence." Then he turned the page and it is written, "Without washing your hands and feet," and then the page turns and says, "You should not go to masjid." So sometimes that's what happens. You say, Krishna is saying, fix your mind on one point. So we are doing it. I can choose any point. I am free. I am independent. I can choose my point. And then what Krishna says? One should hold one's body, neck and head erect in a straight line. Yes, again everybody says the same thing. And stare steadily at the tip of the nose. Thus, with an unagitated, subdued mind, devoid of fear, completely free from sex life, one should meditate upon me within the heart and make me the ultimate goal of life. Who is this me? Krishna is talking about himself. He is not talking of the me in you and me. And Bhagavatam also describes this in more details. And it says you have to meditate on the four-handed form of Krishna. Chaturbhuja, Narayana. Narayana form of Krishna. You know, it is described in the scripture that the Paramatma which is sitting with us in our body along with us, it is also got that Narayana form. So when you say meditate on self, you are meditating on that Narayana who is sitting with you in your heart. And that's called Paramatma. You know, there are three different levels of realization: Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. So by meditation, you can reach the level of Paramatma. Let me share one more small thing with you. You know, this is again just to illustrate that how people are misled and they are misleading others. I happened to visit one place in Himachal Pradesh long back in India, and it's a beautiful place. Himachal Pradesh is one of the most beautiful states in India, you know. Very peaceful. Full of, and Himalayas, it's the foothill of Himalayas, so it is really natural beauty there. So we were invited to one ashram. I was going with my cousin and he said, "Let's go to one ashram," and somebody has invited us. So we met this Swamiji with all his foreign disciples, you know, nicely decked up, lipsticks and everything. And they're all having Indian names, but their dresses and all are Western, you know, right? Typical small skirts and things like that. Anyway, so then we were invited, that Swamiji himself was invited by some resort, some Apple Valley resort or something, for lunch. So we all went there, since we were also there, they said, "You also come along." And there we had a nice, of course it was very tasty, food, not prasadam. And then after that, somebody suggested that we do meditation. And this Swamiji said, "Okay, let's..." He just instructed that all of us close our eyes and we'll meditate. And then he started telling, you know, okay, close your eyes. Now just focus on yourself. And then he says, try to listen to the sound of the crockery in the kitchen. He says, let's go deeper. And you now can hear the river which is flowing by. Forget about everything else. And then he says, you concentrate more, meditate more. And now you can hear the horses running in the ranch in your California location. Like that it was going on, you know. And then he says, okay, now nobody will speak, we will just meditate. So this was a new experience for me. And then when I saw, I mean, I could not concentrate in that kind of situation. Cutlery and this and that. I said, what's going on? And I saw that, I mean, it was 5 minutes, supposed to be 5 minutes, it became 15 minutes because such a nice food we had. So everybody was snoring, you know, except one or two. A whole bunch of people were snoring. So then that meditation, I just immediately thought that, okay, this is not what I think I want. So I asked the question also, meditate on whom? Swamiji, you said that, meditate, nice, it was nice experience for everybody. And then he said the same thing, you know, he said he didn't say Krishna, he didn't say Narayan, he just said meditate on you because you are Krishna. So we have to be careful what we are talking. So by practicing constant control of body, mind and activities, the yogi, what happens to the yogi? Attains to the kingdom of God by cessation of material, because your material existence finishes when you finish this journey in this body, and then you go back to your original dham, which is kingdom of God. So then, if you want to be really yogi, then again Krishna says, don't eat too much, don't sleep too much. Not much, much. Enough, proper. I was telling, 6 hours of quality sleeping is required every day if you want to be fresh next day. So this is a minor thing, right? Practicing your eating habits is the first step. That way you discipline your mental activities and then become situated. Transcendence means trance, you know, transcendence, you know, that means not in this material world, you know, you just transcend this, you go beyond this. And then Krishna talks about the lamp, you know, it's a very beautiful example of a, when there is no wind in the room, the lamp will not be wavering. The same way, your mind will not be wavering if you meditate properly. If you can see Narayana, then that's the best. If you can see yourself, who are you? You are part and parcel of Krishna. You and me, right? So if you can see that, and we see, what do we see actually? Actually we see that ultimately the realization, self-realization is that I am the servant and Krishna is the master, and that's why I have to serve him. I have to establish my relationship with him. That's the real thing. That's the real yoga, because now you are linked. But here Krishna is, you know, because there are various types of people and various processes. So this is one process he's explaining. But this process also, it's very good, but you have to follow it in totality, not in bits and pieces, as I explained. So he says, once you come to this level, then what happens? Then you don't depart from truth. Because you naturally become, that means if you are a devotee, and that's why Srila Prabhupada says one time, that a devotee means a gentleman. What is the definition of a gentleman? He is truthful, okay? He is honest, he is helpful, etc., etc., all the gentlemen. And that automatically are there. When I am saying devotee, I am talking of a good, pure devotee. Not somebody who just got a saffron dress or is able to talk nice, but his own living habits are not so good. Then that's not what we are talking about. So once you reach the level, then Krishna says, then you are never shaken in the midst of greatest difficulty. That's a wonderful thing, right? If you are not shaken in the midst of greatest difficulty, that is what you should be aiming at. So what is required here? Determination and faith. Dhrada shraddha. And not to be deviated. Not that, you know, today you are doing something, oh, this is very nice class, we like it, Prabhuji. And next day when you are asked that, okay, you are supposed to do something little tough, oh, no, then I will go to somebody else. One should abandon without exception all material desires. Very, very difficult. The only way it can be done is by transforming your material desires into devotional desires, devotional service desires. I'm talking of the practical side of this thing. So then, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of what? Intelligence, sustained by full conviction. What is that full conviction? I am the servant of the Lord. Lord is my master and I am the servant. And that is supposed to be the highest buddhi yoga. And then, step by step, don't rush, you know, like you don't try to start doing, okay, if you like meditation, I have no problem. Think about it. If you can do all whatever is required here, if you can do that, then yes, you can do it. Otherwise, don't try to imitate somebody, you know, try to do some meditation here and there and say that I am a great person or something like that. No. So, don't allow the mind to waver, flicker. Engage. This we will discuss, you know, we may have one day one seminar on workshop on how to concentrate, how to control your mind. That will be one full session, one or two sessions I will take. Share with you whatever I learned. So this person goes beyond mode of passion. Mode passion means I want, I want, I want. You go beyond that. Because now you are identified your relationship with the Lord. Okay, and then of course the bonus is you get free from all reactions of past deeds, bad deeds. Nobody wants to get rid of the good deeds, but a devotee does. Devotee doesn't want good or bad anything. So what do you give? Happiness, highest stage of perfect happiness. So then Krishna says that you should observe me in all beings. That means you should think that Krishna is sitting as Paramatma in every soul. If that is the mood, then how can you do something wrong to somebody? You know, if you love Krishna and then you know that he is sitting as Paramatma in every living being, then it is very easy, isn't it? Then you are not envious, you are not angry, you are not thinking, oh my God, why is he doing like that, you know, I must punish him. Yeah. No. It's not our duty. Punishment is Krishna's own prerogative. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost. Because you are seeing Krishna in everybody, so how is he lost? And then Krishna says, he starts loving that person more than anybody else. That's why he says, nor is he ever lost to me. And so Krishna says that devotee remains. You know, this is what Rukmini asked him, where do you want to live? You don't want to be with the yogis, you don't want to be with the devatas. So where do you want to live? And Krishna says, I want to live in the heart of my devotees. That's the best place. I want their association. Because they are with me always. And finally he says, that person is a perfect yogi who by comparison to his own self sees the true equality of all beings. This is the definition of a Mahatma, that he sees everything as equal. We saw that. A Shudra, an elephant, a Chandala, a dog eater, and everything. So this is his final instruction to Arjuna. Not final, in this particular section. So Arjuna is not getting satisfied after this, you know, he is going to ask questions. And Krishna is going to answer in the balance of the shlokas, which we will be taking next Tuesday, next week. Okay. So I'd like to stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.